Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. Don't do it anymore every day on the show, but all you have to do is go to Wisconsin On Demand, Wilde and Tausch, and you will get all of Jason's information. He has yet to provide us with somewhere we can go to find out all the different shows and times that he does so that we can make sure we don't miss anything. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening. I got to say, Maddie and I are on our way to ballet practice, and what an enjoyable round of Rain Man that was. I know Nicole didn't get a lot right, which, by the way, how many would you have gotten if you had just said Chris Middleton for all 15 questions?
One, two, three, four. Four, actually. But knowledge of Chris Middleton might have gotten you closer to seven. Yeah.
I got 12. I got 12, including the guess, total guess on the Paul Hornung number of field goals made. You're right, that's a terrible percentage. I just thought Nicole sounded like somebody who would be fun if she was your friend.
I agree.
I know she didn't do very well, but I thought she seemed like a very likable, fun person.
She had good energy.
I would join that club. Yeah, she was not bothered by the fact that she sucked. And she did catch on to Chris Middleton. I mean, I did this because I had said about number getting retired that I didn't think so. But after I did this, it's a lock. It's 99%.
As was I wrong, because when Tausch first brought that up on our show the other day, and I was like, I mean, I guess. I got a text from Justin Garcia, who has forgotten more about the Bucks than I have ever known. He's like, I mean, he didn't call me an idiot, but he should have, because he's like, he's a lock. The question is whether Brooke Lopez gets number retired, not whether Chris Middleton does.
And yeah, statistically, he's going to be number two. Now, here's the bizarre part. Here's the bizarre part. So they needed somebody, and one of the reasons they added Lillard was because they needed somebody to be able to make the big shot at the end of the game. And what's clear is they had the guy. They just didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him enough, or he was hurt. Like, they didn't need to do that. Chris Middleton can make the game-winning shot like Lillard, not necessarily quite as well, but more than worthy of that. They never gave him that role, and then you'd still have Holiday as the defender and all the benefits he gave there.
Well, he did have that. I mean, he did have that role during the championship run, right? They didn't want Giannis on the line, and he made some big-time shots on their way to the title. Now, I would say, again, this is talking with people who know more about the Bucks than I do, there is, other than Sidney, our youngest, I don't know if there's anybody that likes Jrue Holiday more than me. I mean, he's been incredibly nice to her, for one, but two, I just love the way he plays. He busts his ass on defense. He's extremely unselfish. He can score, but my understanding from those who know more about basketball than me was that they needed someone who was a greater third scoring option than what Jrue was.
Right. And my answer is yes, but for that you paid a price that was greater than what you gained.
Yeah. I'd love to have seen if I mean not to be the Seinfeld and I found a way for us to get Bonds and Griffey and we don't have to go up all that much, but I would have loved to have seen somebody else be part of that trade and have them playing with that foursome on the court along with Brooke Lopez. That would have been nice.
Because they just don't fit. All right, let's get to Devontae Adams because I just think
this is great, isn't it?
I think it's just clear that, and I just wish he would say more to explain why he thought Jordan Love wasn't any good. But, yeah, it's clear.
I can tell you why.
Why? Because of the time he played?
Exactly why.
The game
that he was there. Because he was there and so was I. Like, look.
Okay, so, okay, agreed. Agreed. What was it? He was inaccurate? What was it? Or it couldn't do anything? Go ahead.
Inaccurate. Right. Like, I, again, Tausch gives me a hard time for always saying how much I like Jordan. But
I would too.
I do. I like him as a dude.
But even if you hated him, it doesn't change what he was and the things you're mentioning.
I understand. But we all have biases, and I'm sure that
I have no biases.
I couldn't That's okay.
I don't think you have biases either when you judge players.
Sure, yeah, I probably do.
Who do you have a bias? No, well, no, I disagree. Who do you have a bias
Bill
on?
Bill Schrader. Bill Schrader.
You, that does not, has never in my mind changed your view of his ability as a player. You've been honest his ability as a player.
I did try to do a positive story.
Yeah, you think he was a jerk, but he was a jerk to everybody. But my point is, even though you felt he was a jerk, I don't know how often you said it, but someone can try to find me an article in which you were inaccurate about his play and describing what he did.
We don't have all of my radio appearances archived, and I don't think Bill Schrader was on the team when I was starting out on Night Night with Uncle Homie, et cetera. So, look, my point is that I think you can think very highly of Jordan as a guy and think very highly of him as a quarterback today and also be honest about what he was in 2020 and 2021. And what bothers me is that there is a segment of the population that just wants to be able to say, I knew it all along. I knew he was going to be great. And I just think that's disingenuous. And I think I'm so glad that DeMonte said this. Now, again, remember, he's on a podcast with his Raiders teammate, Max Crosby. So, you know, he has to say caveats of, you know, I don't regret my decision and all that stuff. He definitely was fueled in part because he's told me this. So, the part of the population that thinks that I'm carrying his water is just wrong. But he was really pissed that they didn't extend him when they had the chance. Before the 21 season, like they made him do something that no number one receiver does anymore, and that is play out his existing contract. So it didn't matter that they offered him more money than the Raiders on his way out the door because he was so pissed he wasn't going to take. And that's why they offered him more money, because they knew he was never going to take it. But the other part of it, and if you go back and look at the things he said after he went to the Raiders. He, without saying it explicitly, he basically said, I think the next guy sucks. And I don't trust my Hall of Fame career to staying in Green Bay if Rodgers calls it quits after this year, which is what Rodgers had told him he might do.
So now it's just that, to me, it's the only part that matters. And I don't even know. DeVonte didn't even have to address, like, well, do you regret it? This isn't about any of that. This is just me telling you. And to talk about Jordan Love, and so he was inaccurate.
He was, I've told you,
to me makes it even more amazing that he's as good as he is.
Yes, and it also is why I think the crowd that claims that they knew this was going to happen, you know, Goody even joked about it. Somebody asked him, you know, when did you know Jordan would be this good? And he, you know, 2019. But the bottom line is he would have never given Rodgers the 3-year, $150 million deal going into 2022 if he believed that Jordan was going to be good. There's no way he would have done it. They were prepared to basically pay out 3 years of Rodgers, and if Rodgers doesn't break his thumb and they lose, you know, things go south in London in that game against the Giants and everything spirals from there, and then they lose to the Lions in the finale. I would love to know what that alternate universe looks like, because while Jordan had those 10 really good throws in Philly, I'm still not convinced that they had seen even enough in practice to feel that good about him taking over, right? But he was so inaccurate, and in 2020 he was indecisive. I saw him throw one really good ball at the practices.
All right, explain what you mean by indecisive.
He windows would open and close without him throwing the ball. He didn't know where to go with it. And then when he would throw it, he would spray the ball around like you probably off the tee. And that's, you know, and then you go into the rough and you find six more balls.
Right, but see, when we have this discussion, I think now the value of people to me is to make him even worse than he was, because even more amazing. Like, you know, we're going to get to this where I go, so what happened?
So, all right. So let me just finish this.
All right.
The play the play that I think sealed it for Devontae, if you go back and look at that Chiefs game, there is a throw to him
in the sideline. Yeah.
And he and Devontae reaches back like full extension backward, and he gets lit up by a defender.
Right.
I mean, he gets hit really hard. And if the ball is put where, say, Aaron Rodgers would have put it, it's a completion. He's out of harm's way. It's a big game. So I would say that was, because I think Devontae, if you go back and look, I think Love targeted him like 14 or 16 times in that game. And so what I'm saying is that his accuracy was enough of a problem that one of the all-time great wide receivers in Packers history and arguably a gold jacket receiver was like, I can't trust my gold jacket to this guy.
Right. And let me just interject this to see. And if he had been better at practice, he would have been more willing to live with the one sideline, right? It would have been like, all right, he's new, young.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's 21. Now, I think the jump that Matt LaFleur and those guys saw was in 2022, which coincided with Tom Clements' arrival. And so my pet peeve with folks that want to claim he's good all along and weren't there to see it is that it undercuts everything that Matt LaFleur and Tom Clements, and most importantly, Jordan Love, accomplished in improving as much as he did. Like, I don't know about you. It's great, right? It's great that if you have God-given ability and you're just star-spangled awesome from the jump. But this is a conversation that I have with the girls all the time, because truly becoming a great whatever, ballerina, basketball player, gymnast, whatever it is, the reward is working your ass off so then you become that. Like, I love Charles Woodson. He's one of my favorite people. I would say that we've become friends, which I consider an incredible blessing. But Charles Woodson was living off of his pure God-given talent before he got to Green Bay. And after he got to Green Bay was when he became just a savant when it came to film. And he's probably in the hall of good to very good if he doesn't change that.
Why did
but
he change?
Took his, because I think he realized, I'm not maximizing what I'm capable of. And remember, he had that thing where he, like, they found him, like, asleep in a car at the facility or whatever after a long night of carousing. Right. It's like he was squandering his talent. And so the Raiders were like, we don't want this guy anymore. And I think the biggest thing, if you ask Charles, is that no one wanted him except the Packers in free agency. And so I think that was a wake-up call for him to say, I got to do more. My talent is not enough. And so my point is that to say you knew that Love was this talented just undercuts how hard he worked to become the guy that he is and now the guy that he potentially is going to turn out to be. And so to me, there was this great confluence of he got to sit behind Rodgers for 3 years, which I think was incredibly valuable. Like, I think you put him in Zach Wilson's situation, and he's in the same situation as Zach Wilson now. Wasn't very good as a starter, had to play right away, it wrecked his confidence, and he doesn't do what he did last year because he never really gets the opportunity. It's like Mitchell Trubisky. Instead, he sits for 3 years, they get Tom Clements onto the staff because Luke Getsy gets the offensive coordinator job with the Bears. And Rodgers will tell you, he has said this publicly, he didn't get Tom Clements to help Jordan Love. He got Tom Clements because he wanted Tom Clements. But the fringe benefit was, and this Rodgers will tell you, is that he's great with young quarterbacks. Like, if you look at Arizona, like, He was in Arizona with Kyler Murray, and he really helped Kyler Murray. There is no one, I would argue, and again, I don't know every quarterback's coach, but there is no one better. There may be some that are as good, but there is no one better at teaching the fundamentals. He made Matt Flynn go from a noodle-armed seventh-round pick in 2008 to a legit backup who got paid a ton of money by the Seattle Seahawks before they realized
what they had. Yeah, the sad part is he'll never explain all this to anybody.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, my point is that Jordan Love improved a ton, and I'm so glad that Devontae said what he did because that legitimizes that conversation way more. You know, Wilde said that. Well, who gives a damn? But when Devontae Adams basically, if you're smart enough to understand what he's saying, says, I thought the guy sucked, and now I kind of wish he was, I wish he was a quarterback. Like, he basically said, if we could, like, steal, if I could steal him away now and have him be the Raiders quarterback, I would. Like, that, what an incredible compliment from someone who, again, if we're being honest, kind of dissed you on his way out the door. Like, this guy's not good enough for me to get my gold jacket if I stick around after Aaron leaves. And now for him to say what he did on that podcast, I just think that is such a beautiful turn of events that tells you everything you need to know about what Jordan Love has done with his talent. And I just think that that's, you know, I would hope, and I have not, we haven't talked to Jordan yet. I haven't checked in with him recently. I hope that Jordan took that as an incredible, incredible compliment.
Were you surprised by it?
I mean, look, if you watched him play, like, the, you know, I know I've said this to you, like, those last eight regular season games, and then obviously you add in the game against the Cowboys in the playoffs, like, that was, I had always said that the best stretch of quarterback, you remember, I started in 96, so I saw a lot of Brett Favre's greatness. Not what he did in 95, I wasn't there yet. But I saw a lot of great quarterbacking by Favre. I obviously saw a lot, even more great quarterbacking by Rodgers, because I was there start to finish. It was on par with what he did, what Rodgers did in 16 when he put the team on his back and carried them to the NFC Championship game. It wasn't quite as good, in my opinion, but it was damn close. And so if, and I'm sure Devontae, who watches more film than anybody of all kinds of different receivers throughout the league, including probably some of the Packers guys who certainly watched the film of him, I'm sure he saw that and was like, holy crap, like, this is not the guy that I left Green Bay, and now look what he's become. Like, I'm sure that he was extremely impressed. And when you're playing with Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy G and how things have played out for him in Vegas, you know, from a personal life standpoint, I'm sure Devontae feels really good about that change. From a football standpoint, being the competitor he is, you know, he's another one of the guys that falls into the Woodson category for me. I know him too well to think that the losing and the less than stellar quarterbacking has not just been killing him out
why,
there.
Why do you think he decided to say it? He didn't have to.
I think it's because it's the truth. Like, you can, again, I there have certainly been guys throughout my career that I was fooled by. One thing that Devontae Adams never did was lie. And I certainly had plenty of people lie to me over the course of my career, but he is as straight. He was always honest, and at times, probably not the right thing to do was to be honest. Like his comments on his way out the door about why he wouldn't want to stay in Green Bay. But again, I think he just said it because it's the God's honest truth, and he's been really impressed with Jordan Love. And maybe he. Again, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I haven't reached out to him since this podcast kind of went viral. But maybe he feels a little bit, not only does he feel some regret that he can't admit to, maybe he feels a little bit bad for the way he painted Love and the fact that Love basically told him, you, look at how I play now, you're wrong, without actually saying so.
It's good, though. I mean, it's
great.
You don't
it's
get
awesome.
Players to do that very often. They can just avoid it. What do you think of Jordan Love? You know, I kind of just focus on my team. He seems like he had a really good
Correct.
Year last year, but I don't. I just don't feel like I've looked enough at it.
So I can tell you this because I wanted to write something last year, and the two people that I mentioned are guys that obviously I hold in incredible esteem. So I had reached out to Charles and to Devontae. Because when Love was playing really well, I wanted to ask them what they thought. And Charles is, I didn't end up writing the story because then I was going to write it if they had beaten San Francisco and made the NFC Championship game. And Charles's line was, he has won me over, and I didn't think he could. Which I think
wow.
says a lot. And I think Devontae is basically saying the same thing with what he said in the podcast.
See, and I would be like, so, and I didn't think he could. Why?
Because, again, I think if you watched
he was that bad.
Charles was gone by the time he was on the roster. But Charles watches, obviously his fair share of football. And so he, you know, I don't think there's any, and I don't know, maybe I'll ask Jordan this next time I get to talk to him. Maybe Jordan is offended by this.
There's no way.
I think
there's
we've
no
got a good
way.
Relationship, but like, no. He had to know. He had to know that he wasn't.
Right. When do you think, has he said to you when it changed for him? Like, it's, so, at some point you go and you go, damn, I got this. I can do this.
By the way, it's a good thing that Tim Van Voren is on assignment today because we're eating up all the time that you were going to give to you.
Right,
followers.
On purpose.
Remember when that whole thing went viral during the 2022 season because I said on your show with Tony that I thought that he would ask for a trade if Rodgers came back for another year in 2023, and then it became that, you know, Jordan had told me that he was going to ask for a trade, which did not occur. But in that conversation with him, I remember we were in the hallway, and he's like leaning against the wall as we talked for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And I think that he knew before Philly went, because it was after the Philly game that we had the conversation, but it was before he played that way. He could feel how he was playing in practice. All right, something has changed, and I feel really good about how I'm playing. Now, when that happened, I didn't ask him. I don't know if it happened in September. I don't know if it happened in November. But it happened sometime before he did that in late November, early December. So I think he knew that. I think he knew that if Rodgers had, you know, broken his collarbone a third time in November of 2022, or if that thumb injury had been bad enough to keep him out of the lineup, I think Jordan probably felt like, okay, I'm ready for this. Whereas if he was being honest, and he seems like a very honest guy, you know, he has to say, oh, yeah, I would have been ready in 2020 or 2021. But I think in his heart of hearts, he would know that he wasn't.
And my last question, is it fair to compare him in any way to Giannis? Because I think it's almost impossible to not like him, both of them. But I don't know if that's too far.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Giannis.
I'm not saying he's as good as Giannis, but I'm saying there's some players like, how can you not like him?
Right. I think I've heard multiple people in the Packers organization say exactly that, including, by the way, I think David Bakhtiari, who as Aaron Rodgers BFF, you would think would be predisposed to not like him just out of loyalty for Rodgers. And the fact that David would say, he's impossible not to like, tells you everything you need to know. Now, I would say this. You know, and he does not have the same backstory, having now finally gotten to watch the Giannis documentary on Amazon Prime, which is prominently includes our buddy Eric Dane, by the way. You know, Jordan doesn't have quite the same backstory, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But there's a humility to him. And again, I haven't been around Giannis at all, so I don't know how he is at this point in his life. But at this point in Jordan Love's career, and the reason why I think they're comfortable giving him a big contract and not thinking he's going to Cletus hunt them and suddenly decide, all right, I've arrived and stop working or become arrogant and egotistical or whatever else, is that he's got that similar humility. You know, I mean, his parents obviously instilled that in him. He lost his dad when he was 14
right.
years old.
He seems to have the same drive now that he had then when he was nobody.
Yeah, I think, and if you can keep that when now everyone's telling you how great you are, as opposed to when the best wide receiver is leaving town and basically saying, this guy stinks, I can't stay, if he can keep that same humility, I think he's going to do a hell of a lot of good things in the next decade.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care, be good.
Jason Wilde, All Packers, all the time. We got time left, just not much. Next.